You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm so glad that you have joined us again, and I am back with my guest, Brooke Wayne. She and I talked on Monday about having patience in homeschooling. And so if you missed that episode, you definitely want to go back and listen to that. It will be such an encouragement to you. And so we're going to continue on our conversation. Brooke, welcome back and thank you for joining me again.
Oh, thank you, Yvette. It was such a good conversation last time, so I'm really grateful to have a second part.
Knowing our child's love languages really comes in handy because, you know, if their love language is quality time,
yes,
and you are intentional about spending time with that child daily, and it doesn't have to be, you know, 5 hours, but it could be 30 minutes playing a game or reading a book to them or bouncing a ball with them or whatever it is,
yes,
just spending that time and you kind of fill up that love tank, which I imagine for someone like yourself who has 10 children, that is a difficult thing for you to do. I mean, to know the love language of 10 different children, to try to meet the needs of 10 different children throughout the day. Plus, you've got a husband who also needs your time and attention as well. It can feel like you're being pulled in many different directions. So how do you deal with that with having a big family and being able to meet the needs of each one of your children and your husband?
Well, it definitely is a challenge. You know, it's a challenge, I would say, for I have a friend who has just one child, and she's all this little guy has, you know, yeah, there's right, that too, but during the day, that's all. And so he's kind of like, hey, I need attention here. And I think, yeah, oh, you know, I have a lot of people to kind of entertain each other. Right. But, you know, let me just say one major thing that we do is we're just not involved with a lot. We choose like one activity for the school year for our children to be involved in. Mm-hmm. And for right now, that is like 6 of our older ones are involved in that one activity. And we all go together and do that together. So we're, you know, all together as a family, or at least as many, you know, are not traveling kind of things. My husband, sure, travels quite a bit. And that's it, you know, besides church. And yeah, we don't do a lot of youth groups. We don't do a lot of individual soccer or whatnot. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with those things. I grew up with piano lessons and ballet lessons and just, you know, different book studies and all kinds of fun things. And there's a lot of benefit to some of those things, classes and so forth. We do our homeschooling at home. And, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons to both sides of being more involved with a co-op or not. But just as a secret of how it's working for us to invest in each child is we're not involved with a whole lot, mm-hmm, outside of our home.
Sure.
And, you know, you see sometimes like, okay, we might need to coordinate for something more for one particular child or whatever. And we pray about that. So I'm not saying this is a hard, fast rule or anything,
sure,
but it helps us all be connected. Yeah. And that helps us not be scattered everywhere. And sometimes Israel and I have opportunities to speak at like marriage retreats and that kind of thing. And we bring this topic up, not saying it's, again, a hard, fast rule. There's all kinds of needs or seasons for different families. But I know a lot of families in the homeschool world can get so occupied making sure that they're giving their children the best. You know, right, they're involved with the soccer game, the homeschool soccer game,
sure,
group, you know, and then there's a sewing club and a speech club and just everything,
right,
that they don't have any energy left to invest in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens so many times is they kind of pull through some of that busy season. And then as their children start flying the nest, they start finding that they haven't spent enough time together, just the two of them even, or just as a family, to really know who each other are and to feel like I am valued in this marriage. And so I look at that and I think, oh, you know, maybe our balances need to be a little different. And coming out of COVID-19, as many of us are looking at reevaluating what are we going to be involved in this summer or for the next school year. And perhaps some of us, I know for myself, I'm an introvert, so I liked it maybe more than other people did. But I look at it and go, maybe there's some value to toning it down a little bit.
Sure.
Not completely missing out. We need the body of Christ. We need the friendships that are involved with a lot of things, or sometimes it's classes through co-op. But that space that we create helps our marriage, and that space we create helps us to have time with our children. And so finding that time, it is a challenge sometimes. And I was talking about this with a dear lady who's been a mentor to me. She has 13 children, and I was just crying one day because I said, I want so badly to have these heart connections with my children. And a day goes by and I'm like, oh, you know, I was so busy cooking dinner and trying to make sure they were fed and the baby's diaper got changed that I kind of missed the people for all the activity. I missed the people. Or there was the phonics going, but I never looked at the child past the phonics, you know, the flashcards.
Right.
And so I said, I was at a low point because I just had a baby and that was the, of course, experience and all the hormones involved with that. Anyhow, she said, you know what, if you go and you're at the end of your day and you're evaluating, oh, I missed this child, I didn't connect with them, the next day you go and you look in their eyes and you smile and you just let them know, I love you and I'm so happy you're in my life. Mm. And you just do the next thing of meeting that person and giving them love.
Yeah.
And I think this goes a bit back to what you were saying. If you invest in them, mm-hmm. in the good times, and you find out they are really into this. Like, I have a child right now. I really know I need to invest with a chess game. I'm not great and I'm not horrible at chess, but it's definitely a little challenging because it takes 45 minutes or whatever, right? But I know I need to go and invest some chess time with him because that's his love language. That's what will meet him and fill his tank.
Yeah.
And so I look at those things and I feel like we see as moms all the stuff that has to happen. We see the chores that have to happen, the character little things we'd like to chisel. We see the homework that's not done. And we're just like, get on it, get on it, get on it. And sometimes we almost need to bite our tongue when, you know, where you can, not saying with a defiant or rebellious kinds of attitudes, but where you can sometimes, and bite your lip and say to yourself, okay, what can I find to build up this child? Mm-hmm. And what can I say to praise this child or to encourage them or just to let him know you are really special to me and I love you so much and I'm thankful for you. Yeah. Like my mom used to say a lot, I like you. And that meant so much to me as a child because it wasn't just I love you,
right,
but I like you.
Oh, yes. Yep. It's a totally different meaning. You can love someone but not really like them very much. But liking them is an important thing. I tell that to my girls a lot. And I also tell them, I love being your mom, you know, all the time. I say, I love being your mom. I am so thankful that the Lord chose me. Of all the mommies in the whole world, I'm so glad the Lord chose me to be your mommy. And I really am. I mean, I'm so grateful for them.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content and through our 9 units gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
Let's talk about specifically homeschooling, because I want to talk to the mom who's maybe thinking about homeschooling, or maybe she's already homeschooling and she's just like, I just don't have the patience to do this. I cannot get through this day of homeschooling. My kids, you know, just are out of control, whatever might be the situation. And maybe even her kids are in control, but she just doesn't feel like she has enough patience to home educate her children. How can you encourage that mom?
Okay, lots of thoughts go through my mind. I think one thing that pops in my mind, just that I'll say first, is a lot of people will say, oh, you have 10 children, you must be really patient. And it's like, no, that doesn't mean you're a patient person. It just means you get a lot of practice at seeking to be you, or right. you should have that available to you. And so, you know, this is my ongoing journey. So I feel like saying to moms, you know, I'm on this journey with you. And sometimes we take steps that we're not feeling prepared for, just because we know this is a step, you know, that I feel like I'm called to, or we know that is there, that God's leading us in. And patience is definitely one of those. I mean, it's a fruit of the Spirit. There's only so many of those fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned. And this is one of them. This is a calling of God on our lives to grow in patience. And it's so easy. I mean, there's 101 ways we try as people to escape the work that the Holy Spirit would do in us to grow patience or kindness or a whole bunch of things. You know, we're a convenience-driven society. We want it right now. And if Amazon Prime doesn't come in those 2 days, like I said, it should, we are upset. You know, we're really tuned in our society to find convenience. So let me just say this. Homeschooling is not convenient. It just plain is not. It's so much more convenient to take that time off, you know, like if we could just be as moms, have that 9-to-5 job and then have our own time in the evening and all night. Wow. That would be such a change. And we'd be like, oh, I can handle this. But God gives us these children who he wants to come alongside and see us in all our glory and in all of our, what can we call it? All of our trials. And it's supposed to be something that they come and watch. It's like they're supposed to come and see that lifestyle happening. They're supposed to see how you handle when things don't go well, or how you reach out to the neighbor who's sick, or how you handle when a job loss happens, or how you handle when sickness comes to your home. And, you know, man, we do not like it as parents, because we want our children to see us at our best.
Right.
Excuse me, except the times that we yell at them, then we're okay with it, right? But for the most part, we want them to see us at our best. And it's hard because they have so many needs themselves. And sometimes we have to coach them through things. You know, when a grandparent dies, we might be mourning, but we've also got this little person there this morning, and we need to guide them through how to do it.
Right.
And I really feel like this is where Deuteronomy 6 comes into play, that they're put with us to watch us and to observe and to see how we do it. And it's a growth place for us. Yeah. And that's really hard, because we view everything in our children's lives almost like, okay, this is for their good. I'm going to homeschool them for their good. And sometimes I think God has this process of us transferring and stumbling and living out and repenting and trying again, this process of discipleship for our own sakes. And that patience is such a big part of it, because we're signing up and saying, all right, teach me some patience, Lord. And that's a huge step. And it's a painful step. And it's going to mean a lot of stumbling. And it's going to mean a lot of tears and time on your knees and repenting before your children. And it's okay. And it's hard to say that, because we all want an easy way out of growing as a Christian. Yeah. And yet I feel like God desires that of us to grow. Now, this doesn't mean we need to go, you know, do the hardest things in life just because, and scrub our clothes because, well, that would teach us some character. There's plenty that will come your way. And so I'm not calling for that. I'm calling for, in the scriptures, God does lay on the hearts of parents, teach your children as you walk by the way, as you go. And so many times we don't want to take them with us. We don't, we want to go by ourselves, and we want a little break. And, you know, like I said, I'm an introvert. I get the fact that sometimes moms want a little space, you know, to use the restroom without people knocking on the door. Yeah, there they are, and they're watching us. No, you know, hopefully not bathroom, but they're watching us as we cook and as we react to our husband and how we relate to the fact that the trash was not picked up, or, you know, whatever happens in our lives. And those are so meaningful. All the little stuff, it's meaningful, and it adds up.
Yep, and they copy us too. You know, they start learning from birth to become who they become by copying mom and dad and brother and sister. You know, they repeat the things we say, they make the same facial expressions, they make the same bodily movements, like, because they learn, well, that's how you live life. That's what you do. And so if mom learns how to deal with things with patience and with self-control, then it's much more likely that they will learn to do that as well. Now, of course, personality comes into that, and yeah, you know, their relationship with the Lord comes into that. But you know, we have a much better chance of our children knowing how to use self-control and learning that as they're growing mm-hmm. up. You know, one of my daughters who really struggles with a very strong will, you know, she often will say to me, "Mom, why can't I control it?" And I say, "Well, you're still a child and you're still learning, but you're learning, and God will help you." And she just wants it to be fixed. Like, she just wants the instantaneous, like, okay, boom, push a button, I'm in full control over my emotions and my strong will. Yes. And you know, she's learning that it's not that easy. And it's not that easy for us as parents either to be in full control of our emotions. But again, like we talked at the beginning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I mean, he's so faithful to accomplish in us what he's going to do, you know, if we're willing to put forth the effort.
Right.
And I said that to her too. As a matter of fact, I said, you know, the Holy Spirit can certainly help you, but you have to be willing as well. You have to make the effort on your end. You can't just expect him to just magic. I mean, not that he, you know, he can do anything, but he's not going to just magically fix you and fix your strong will to use it in a way that honors him. Like, you have to be willing to work at that yourself. I want to ask you one last question, because we're just about out of time for the podcast. Can you talk to the parent who has dealt with anger in the past and or even now is maybe dealing with anger, and maybe she has hurt her children emotionally because she's just had an anger issue, or he, you know, could be a mom or a dad, has really struggled with this. What hope and encouragement can you offer to that parent to kind of turn that tide and be able to become a parent of patience, you know, become that parent who just exudes the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, it all fits together when you think about all of those. They really all work hand in hand with one another. And the Lord can certainly help us to become that parent who exudes the fruit of the Spirit. But what advice can you offer to that parent who has struggled with that?
You know, I would just encourage, and this sounds so trite, but I would encourage you, stay in prayer and stay in the Word. And here's why. It's like we have this war going on, and this is not my own metaphor, but I have heard this through life and just different sermons and so forth. It's like we have this war of our flesh, which is the part that wants to be in control and take the situation under, you know, and yell and react in anger and so forth. And that person in us, if given its way, grows pretty strong. Whereas our spiritual man or inner man that Christ wants to redeem and to grow strong, it just starts out weak. And we feed it through Scripture, through having the Word of God transform us as we dwell on it. And we're like, okay, here's what the Bible says. And we let it change our thinking. And then we let it ebb out into how we react. And I know that sounds so trite, because we open up sometimes. We're like, well, here's what it says in 1 Samuel. And it's talking about David going off to war. And this doesn't really hit me where I'm at. And yet I would encourage you, this whole Scripture is given with a panorama of what God's doing in people's lives. And what he did, you know, in the nation of Israel, but what he's doing in our hearts, and the way he expects his people to act, and the way he expects us to humble ourselves when necessary. And I find that time of prayer, you know, we might be like, oh, I'm asking again for patience and it's not happening. And yet this God we serve is alive, and he desires to see these things in us. And so that's kind of where I came in my journey, realizing, if I am in tune with the Holy Spirit, he will give me that patience. He'll give me ideas even right. Just, okay, that didn't work. Okay, so how am I going to respond differently? What ideas can I do to connect with my child's heart? Apparently that one didn't work. You know, I've had lots of stumbling moments like that. Okay, so what is it I'm supposed to do here? There's enough times I feel like we can reach as a parent when we are seeking that we'll stumble enough that we'll go, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. And that verse in James 1:19, it was just transformational for me, where it says the man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. And when I read that over and over and over, I realized my anger, was what I was trying to use as a catalyst to change my children. I wanted them to behave. I wanted them to sit still. I wanted them to not hit their brother and sister. You know, all the things that we require of our little children. I look to the future and like, well, I want them to become godly young men and women. And yet I was trying to do it by a control mechanism instead of godly discipleship and correction and training and love. And that was for me just a turning point that I realized I don't want to go my own way. I don't want this anymore. Right. And it, you know, it comes about sometimes when we stumble again and we get up, we repent to our children, and that's very painful. And sometimes, you know, we think we're so cool hiding it from our children, and yet they know us so well and they see everything. And so you realize you're not humbling yourself quite the way you think you are. When you mention it, because they already know about it, they know you so well, and their honor and esteem for you actually can go up.
Yes.
When you say, I was wrong. And, you know, that might need to happen a lot. And I would encourage parents, find someone you can be accountable to. You know, preferably that is with a husband and wife team. Right. But that if that's not an option, find, for moms, find a godly older woman in the church or your community. Somebody that is trustworthy. You know, we want someone that's trustworthy. Maybe hopefully someone who's actually gone through some things themselves. And speak to them and say, I don't want to be this way. What are things that helped you? You know, how were you able to overcome anger? And, you know, finding new patterns is so important, because we sometimes say to ourselves, I'm not going to be angry. Or there's so many stupid things that people can do. Like, you know, okay, I'm going to go, you know, I can't think of a good example right now, but they're going to do something to deprive themselves or so forth as a way of disciplining them, you know, the mother, discipline yourself for the anger she had. And yet this is something where like, we just want it out of our lives. We want a clean sweep. And yet what God wants is he wants patience instilled in us. He wants something different. And we need to realize, instead of just that clean sweep, we need to grow something in us. We need to grow our spiritual man inside, woman inside, where we look for active ways to, instead of expressing anger or irritation with our children, we're going to purposely and intentionally express love, care for our children's soul, prayer for them, you know, these things. And maybe we said, maybe they feel really awkward at first, and maybe they don't even seem to fit, you know, we try on, we're going to pray for our child. Maybe that's not a pattern you've had before, and you try it out and you're a little feeling kind of like stumbling around with the words, and you maybe even are a little irritated inside at that moment, but you're putting on a good pattern. And the beautiful thing is God loves to see those patterns place. It's a step of obedience, those things that we take to do to make a way for patients to come into our lives. They become a way of life.
Yeah.
And they become something that he can use to actually help us have that patience we need for our children. So I think those are some of the steps that I would encourage you. And again, you know, I know it sounds like, okay, so you're saying I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to have a little prayer time in the morning, and I'm going to really make a difference on this anger. I'm going to say yes. And it's not because of your efforts. It's because of what God wants to do inside of you.
Right. He is so faithful to help us when we ask for help and when we recognize it. And I love that you talk about going to our children and repenting to them, just saying, you know, I'm so sorry. I have not been patient with you the way that God has called me to be patient. So we're going to start over. Please forgive me, and then start fresh. And, you know, I can't imagine a child in the world who would say, nope, I'm not going to forgive you, and go on their merry way. You know, kids want to have that connection with their parents. Brooke, thank you so much for your encouragement today. You've been an encouragement to me, and I know to everyone who's been listening. Tell us again where people can find out more about you and your family and your ministry.
Sure, I'd love to. It's at familyrenewal.org, www.familyrenewal.org. And we have a store there where we sell Pitch and a Fit and several of the others, books from Israel.
Okay, sounds great. We'll put those links in the show notes. Thank you again, Brooke. You are such a blessing. And thank you guys for listening. We will see you back here next week. Bye.